Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
We are thankful. I mean, we have to start somewhere. You know? Amen. Jen Dewberry is part of the First Fam, and that's Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. We're thankful for them as well. There's so many here. For those who do not know, maybe at the end of the service we'll do a call, it's roll call. I think we have, for the most part, everybody is here, so we want to make sure we show appreciation and give everyone an opportunity to represent everyone who came after Alpha Phi Alpha, so we want to make sure you all have an opportunity to do that as well. For those who do not know, this is something I do every Sunday at Uplift Church. I don't do it necessarily out of routine. It is a routine thing, but I'm not doing it out of routine. I do it because I really do mean it. And that is, I show appreciation to the staff of Uplift Church. Uplift Church is blessed with a phenomenal team. This setup, our Uplift Cafe, working with the kids, that's all done because of Uplift staff. So will you do me a favor and show some appreciation for phenomenal amen, amen, amen. I am certainly thankful for them, for how they serve week in and week out. We are in a series, and it's called All In. Before I start that, I want to make sure I make mention also of books. You'll be out in the cafe. These are books that have just been published by one of our members, Ashley. Ashley, wave your hand. She just blessed us with our liturgical dance. Ashley is an author. This is what, second or third book you've written? How many books you've written? Six, okay, all right. I know she's written a lot, so this is her first published book, so we want to certainly support her, I believe, and supporting those who have worked long and hard to get some things done. So she'll be in the cafe. It's a tremendous book. She has different color schemes, and so for guys and for ladies, for those who go with that, there's one that's pink, and so there is a group that actually fits this color scheme as well. So I encourage you to definitely check her out. It's called Basic Training. We invite you to sharing that as well in the Uplift Cafe. We are in a series called All In. It's called All In. What does that mean, Pastor Ball? Here's some questions. Have you ever been or are you currently restless in your spirit with a nagging sense that says there's got to be something more? God, my life right now, I knew there was something more for me than what I'm going through right now. There has got to be something more. When I was in elementary school and they asked me what I wanted to be, God, this was not it. There has got to be something more. More to work, more to family, more to church. During this series, we are looking at an amazing story of Abraham, a very ordinary man who became extraordinary for one pivotal reason. That is that he pursued God in life by faith. Not knowing where everything would turn out, but in every decision, he pursued God and he dared to go all in. And so we're going to look at that on today. If you have your Bibles, your book of instruction, I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter number 15. They have an iPhone, an iPad, an Android, Galaxy, a watch, or they may have something now that just comes in sunglasses. Whatever it is you may have, if you have your Word of God, we invite you to turn to Genesis chapter number 15. And we ask that you stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter number 15. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter number 15, verses 1 through 6. I'm reading from the New International Version. If you got it, say amen. Amen. If you are still looking, say hold up. All right. Genesis, that's the first book of the Bible. Can't miss it. Can't get another one without going to Genesis chapter number 15. Beginning with verse 1. Here's what it says. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6 says, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Verse number 6 says, Abram, that's Abraham, believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. That's the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. As you take your seat, will you look at your neighbor? Right. Let's try this again. I'm gonna give you some instructions on how to look at. I don't want you to make your neighbor mad with your look, and you know what? I want you to put a smile on your face. Smile on your face. Smile on your God has blessed me. God is my friend. Smile on your face. I like to say I just saved 15% by switching to Geico type smile. On your, my boss won't be at work tomorrow type smile on your face. Say, neighbor, this morning's sermon is fear and a father's faith. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Neighbor. Oh, neighbor. This morning's sermon is fear and a father's faith. Man, you may be seated in the presence of God. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open my eyes and lift me, Spirit Divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Fear and a father's faith. Faith overpowers fear. Faith overrules fear. Faith ultimately overcomes fear. But in order for any of those to happen, you're going to have faith in the face of fear. One tribe of Native Americans had a unique practice of training young men to be brave. One night, a boy on his 13th birthday, he was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family and his tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken miles away. When he had taken off the blindfold, he was in the midst of thick woods. He had to stay there by himself all night long. Every time he heard a twig snap, He probably visualized a wild animal. Let me put it a different way. For those who are from the city, you may have never been out in the woods. So it's hard for you to picture it. I want you to picture National Geographic. I want you to picture the things you know you watch on YouTube. It's like, oh my God, why would they ever be in that situation? This is the situation this little boy is in. He's 13. It's night. He has never been away from his family and the security of his tribe. He had been blindfolded, and he has to stay in the thick of the woods all night long. He's miles away from his tribe, and at night, every little sound sounds like danger. Every little twig snap sounds like pending threats. Every time an animal howled, he imagined animals circling around him, seeing him as their midnight snack. Every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister animal was going to come after him. No doubt in the midst of this terrifying scene, the little boy had fear. After what seemed like an eternity, the rays of the sun began to shine through the thick of the trees. Forest began to light up. Little boy began to look around. He saw flowers, he saw trees, he saw the outline of a path. And then, to his utter amazement, to his utter astonishment, he looked up and he saw a man holding a bow and arrow. He was supposed to be alone. He saw a man, and it was a familiar figure. It was his father. His father had stayed there watching over, protecting his son throughout the night. And while his son had fear, his father's presence let him know, son, you're never alone. Even though danger is all around you, when you cannot see me, I'm still there with you. My brothers and my sisters, what more of a way to show a son how to get through frightening situations than for him to open his eyes and to see his father standing there protecting him? My brothers and my sisters, there are times in life where it seems as though danger is all around us. It seems as though fear seems to overcome us. And God wants you to know, while it may be dark right now and you cannot see me, I'm still the God who stands and watches over and protects you even in the midst of frightening situations. How can we deal with the fears we face when God has asked us to go all in? How do we deal with the doubt of not knowing how things are going to work out? God has asked us to go all in. And what about the fear we have to deal with? Fear of failing God and failing others. It's Father's Day, and there may be some brother here right now who's thinking that same thing. God, I'm trying, but I don't know how things are going to turn out. God, I'm trying, but I'm afraid of being a statistics like society says that men are. God, I'm trying, and I hope that my children don't misunderstand my efforts. God, I'm trying, and I'm taking risks, but God, I don't want to be broken in another relationship. God, help me with my fear. Has anyone ever been in that place in your life when you say, God, I'm daring to take a risk of faith, but I'm real enough to say that there are times when I'm unsure of how things are going to work out? After a daring rescue mission, showing great mercy and bravery, Abraham finds himself struggling with fear and doubt, both in himself and in God. Let me mash pause real quick. Coming to church and reading your Bible and listening to gospel music all day long, because you don't do any secular music, and you wake up every morning and you read your devotional and you post scriptures on Facebook. You can do all of that. But if you're ready to be real, you'll have to admit, I love the Lord, but there are some times when I'm frightened and I don't understand how it's going to work out. There are some times I even doubt the God I believe in. I'm not trying to be fake or phony. I'm just being real. God, there are times when I'm just unsure. It's a strange Christian that cannot admit that there have been times that I wonder, God, how are you going to work this mess out? In response to these struggles, God engages in a conversation with Abraham that shows us how to look at fear, how to look at doubt, and move past them. How to remind ourselves that faith overrules fear, that faith overpowers fear, that faith ultimately overcomes fear. Here it is, we see three things in this narrative. First of all, Abraham's story shows us that God will protect us. That God will protect us. If you're taking notes, that's our first point. God will protect you. Here we see Abraham. He's dared to go all in. He's dared to trust God. Like the introduction video, and I had Steve Harvey the little clip where he said, in essence, Abraham has dared to jump off the cliff and he's hoping that his parachute will open. He's dared to go all in. Abram has left his homeland to go a place where God said, I'll show you when you get there. Packed up his stuff. He began to leave. And the first thing he experiences is a drought in the land. He tries to hide out for a little while in Egypt, and they kick him out. He goes to a place called the Negev, and he begins to have some level of success there. He begins to get a little money, get a little status, get a little something. And what's interesting is, though he's going through a drought, he finally gets a little something, and it seems as though things are going to be all right. Abraham has a problem really, really close to him. The person that begins to hate on Abraham is his own family members. You know, sometimes when you begin to trust God and God begins to work things out in your life, one of your first haters, your closest hater, is your cousin, them that grew up with you. You know, your sister mad because you got a degree and she didn't get a degree. Your cousin mad because you got married and they ain't married yet. Some of the first haters you get are those in your family. And then what makes matters worse, Abram used to help his nephew Lot out. Lot has what he has because Abram blessed him. But even in the midst of that, his own family member began to hate on him. Abram has gone through a drought. He's gone through hating family members, and he has to separate himself from them. Some of our biggest haters will come from people who you tried to help. But even after that, Abram went out on limbo to help his family because that's my cousin, that's my nephew. And so when the city that he lived in, that Lot lived in, Abram still went to rescue him. And then something interesting happens in the biblical narrative. Here is when God showed up and Abram had a different response. Here it is. When God spoke to him in chapter number 12, God spoke to him in chapter number 13, when God spoke to him in chapter number 14, Abram didn't say anything. Last week I told you all, when God showed up and said to him, I want you to leave your homeland, it did not say that Abram said, where am I going? It didn't say, what should I bring? Abram just took God at his word and he just did it. Chapter number 12, God spoke, Abram said nothing. Chapter number 13, God spoke, Abram said nothing. Chapter number 14, God spoke, Abram said nothing. But then we get to chapter number 15, and Abram says, God, I got something to say. God, I can't be quiet no more. I can't hold my peace anymore. I've got something to say. Sisters, listen to this. It's fatherly. I'm going to give you a little lesson here. There are four words that men do not like to hear. There are four words. If a man is driving home and he calls his wife or he calls his boo and she says these four words, the man cringes. He wants to get in traffic when he hears these four words. But if the brother says these four words, oh, trust and believe, he's real serious at this moment. God, I got some issues. Abram says, God, we need to talk. I know you told me that you were going to make my name great. I know you told me that you were going to make me great. I know you told me that you were going to bless me. I know that you gave me a promise and I dared to jump in because of it. But now that I'm out here, I have to admit I've got some fear. I was strange enough, crazy enough to jump. But now that I'm out here and I can't go back, God, I've got to admit, I've got some fear. I'm old and I'm running out of time and they don't make little blue pills in my time. So, God, I'm afraid. And I trusted you but I don't see how it's working out. God, I'm willing to admit that I've got some doubt. I'm willing to admit my own uncertainty. God, I've been through a drought. God, I've dealt with family drama. But God, where are you? I've jumped off the cliff and my parachute has not opened. God, where are you? God, I've done my part, but I don't see how you are doing your part. God says to him, Abram, don't be afraid. I am your shield and your reward. God is saying to him, Abram, don't worry, because what you're afraid of won't hurt you. Abram, don't worry, because what you're going through won't kill you. Abram, don't worry, because family can't stop you. Abram, don't worry, because I am your protection. Somebody here this morning, you have been dared to believe God. You have dared to take a risk of faith. You've dared to go all in. You've dared to believe that God can do what God said he's going to do. And you dared to try to live out your reason for being. You've climbed up on the cliff of life and you've dared to jump. But now you are wondering, God, where is my parachute? You've experienced some rock cliff. You've experienced some winds that has blown you a little off course. And you're now wondering, God, you told me to jump. God, you told me to believe you. Now I'm out here and I can't get back up there. God, where are you? God, I'm scared now. God wants you to know that he's got you. God wants you to know that you will not fail. God wants you to know that the devil will not stop you. God wants you to know that the trials you face will not hinder you, because he is protecting you. He is keeping you and he's got you covered. I love it. Here's what it is. When you look at the verses, first God says, Abram, I got you. Before Abram even voices his complaint. Abram, don't be afraid. Then Abram says, God, I'm scared. God knows the thoughts of your mind. And before fear even rises up, God wants you to know, I've already got you covered. And so my brother, my sister, whatever you may be facing in life, when you trust in God, when you believe in God, and when you dare to go all in, and the ground seems to be rushing up to catch you, God wants you to know that he will not let you fail when you dare to go all in with him. Even when you can't see how he's working out, you've got to know that God is working it out. He says to him, Abram, I'll protect you. Then, brothers and sisters, we see that not only does God have him covered, not only is God protecting him, but then we see that God has a plan. So our second point, God has a plan. Check this out. There was a small congregation at the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. They were building this great new sanctuary, piece of land that a church member had left them. Beautiful sanctuary. They were all so excited about it. If you've ever been a part of a church that's trying to build something, you know, a whole bunch of people give a whole bunch of money. And so when you finally get it, you just, oh, I ain't even in the building yet, but God, I thank you. And so they built this beautiful sanctuary. The whole town knew about this beautiful sanctuary that they had built. And it's right on the side of a mountain. Beautiful place. Before they get to walk in to the sanctuary and begin to have worship there, the city comes in and says, we're sorry, you are not able to use that building because you don't have enough parking spaces to accommodate the capacity of seating that you have. Beautiful building. Glad you built it. You just can't use it for worship because you don't have enough parking spaces. And the issue was they had no more land to build a parking space because the church was up against the mountain. Pastor said, okay. Says to the church, y'all, they said we can't go into the church because we don't have enough parking spaces, and we can't build any more parking spaces because we're up against a mountain. He said, here's what we're going to do. After service, I want you all to come back tonight, and we're going to pray. We need those who have mountain-moving faith. He spoke to 300 of his members. I need those who have mountain-moving faith to come, and we're going to pray that God moves this mountain. 300 folk heard him. 24 people showed up that night. They prayed. God, we know that you are able to move a mountain. God, we know that you're able to work it out. God, we know that you didn't have us build this church not to be able to use it. We know you've got some kind of plan. And so they began to pray. 24 people out of 300 began to pray. Pastor said, all right, y'all, we'll have service next Sunday. They got ready for service the next Sunday. And before the pastor could come out to preach, somebody came in and knocked on the office door. He opened the door, and it was a man in the construction uniform. And he said, Pastor, I don't mean to disturb y'all's service, but we're building a mall on the other side of the mountain. And we've ran out of dirt to level the land. And what we want to know is, can we blow Trump to this mountain away? And we will pay you all for it. And we will remove the dirt. And we will pay the ground for you all. We will pay you to remove your problem. And the pastor went out and told the people, y'all, I told you, God can move mountains. God knew what the solution was before the problem even showed up. My brothers and my sisters, the God that we serve has a plan for our lives. The little church was dedicated the next Sunday. They had service as they originally planned. If God asks you to do something, trust and believe he's planned it out for you. Here is the issue, though. Sometimes God can't tell us the whole plan, because if God told us the whole plan, we would say, God, we need to have a meeting, right? And we need to have, we need to get 3 or 4 different bids on this plan, several options. And then we can vote on which one, we're going to do. If God showed you how your life was going to work out, you and I would probably walk out. God, this is not for me. My brothers and my sisters, whenever God gives you a vision, whenever God gives you a purpose, trust and believe that God has the whole thing worked out. Why? Because your tomorrow for God is still today. Your next year for God is still today. Your next month for God is still today. And so God knows exactly what he's purposed and he's planned for your life. And to help Abram, God gave him a vision of what would happen in the future. And although it hadn't happened yet, it was to comfort him in the meantime. Okay, that was, y'all missed a shout there. Let me shout again. God gave him a vision of what was going to happen. And even though it hadn't happened yet, it was able to comfort him in the meantime. God wanted him to understand, I want you to activate your faith, and so that will begin to overrule and overpower and overcome your fear. In order to help you with that, I'm going to give you a vision of what's to come. It was to reassure him that God still had a plan for him. But listen, I shared last week that the book of Genesis is part of the Pentateuch. And in order to understand what's going on in the book of Genesis, you got to understand the purpose of the Pentateuch. That's the first 5 books of the Bible. And I shared with us that Genesis serves as a spotlight, if you will, to let us know that what happened in the past has a role to play with what happens in the future. What happened in the past is to inform us that God can do this in the future. Let me help us to understand this. When we're reading Genesis and we read the story of Abraham, Abraham had already lived it. So he wasn't writing that to inform him. He was writing that to inform us. And so Moses, who believed, begins to write on this. He's writing to let us know that the same God who showed up in Abram's life is the same God that works in and through your life. I said last week, contrary to put it this way, if he did it before, he'll do it again. And so God shows up and he says to him, I want to give you a vision of what's to come. Abraham's vision had already come to pass. God says to him, I've got a plan for you, but I couldn't tell you the whole plan. Here's why. If I were to try to tell you the whole plan, your little brain wouldn't be able to comprehend it. And so I'm going to paint a picture for you. I'm going to help you understand a little bit about what I'm doing. Abram, go outside. I want you to look up. And I want you to see the stars. And I want you to start counting them. And if you can count them, that's how much I'm going to bless you. Abram, when you get to 1, that's a blessing. Abram, when you get to 1,000,000, that's another blessing. I'm trying to help you.